It was Christmas Eve in 1818. A minister, Franz Gruber, was in his study. And while he was in his study, his friend and the church organist come into his office, and he busts in a frenzy. And Gruber said, "Pastor, the church organ is broken, and it will be impossible to get it repaired in time for the Christmas service tomorrow evening. Our Christmas music is ruined." And Moore sought to console his friend, and he said, "Everything will turn out all right. You will see." Now, Gruber finished his work for the day, Moore finished his work for the day. And one of the members of his congregation had a new baby born into their home. And so he walked to over a mountain and through a mountain area, and he goes to the home of a woodcutter. This woodcutter had this brand new baby, and he and his wife, and after his visit with them on this Christmas Eve, he climbed a mountain before he went home to look at the city below and to think of the Christmas story. And as he walked, he was thinking of the beauty of the night, and he's thinking of the new baby, and he's thinking of the humble birth of this new child in those humble surroundings. And he begins to think of the coming of the Lord Jesus in his humble birth. And as he thought on these things, the words of a poem came together. He hurried home and he wrote them down. And he wrote that evening very quickly the words to the song that we sang as a congregation, "Silent Night." The next day he goes to the organist Gruber's house. And he gives him a Christmas gift. He gives him the words of this song, "Silent Night." And he said, "I would like you to put a tune to it so we can sing it." And of course, Gruber said, "But the organ is broke. What will we do? We cannot do that." And he said, "Oh, you can do it." And so he goes to the adjoining room and he picks up his guitar. And he comes back, and in not very long, a few minutes, the two men sit together, and he puts together with his guitar a very simple tune, three chords. And that day, on Christmas Day, 1818, outside Salzburg, Austria, the Christmas carol, "Silent Night, Holy Night," was born. And we sing it today as it was written. Those many years ago, sung now by millions. The song, after they were done with it in the Christmas service where they sang it for the first time, the song was left out after the service. And when the organ repairman came, he saw the words and the music written there, and he scribbled all of it down. And everywhere he went to fix organs, he would introduce this Christmas song. And so it began to spread from place to place to place. And now, tonight, in your hymnal, as it was written then, now in English, we sing it not in German, is the song "Silent Night." I want you to now go with me from Salzburg, Austria, to another place nearly a century later. It's Christmas Eve, 1914. World War I has turned into trench warfare. The months before Christmas time in 1914 had turned bloody. A Western Front had been formed in this trench warfare that was about 460 miles long in the 4 months previous to Christmas this year. Things had turned bloody. The war was terrible. There were people killed at a horrendous pace. There was no end for this war in sight. But during Christmas time, things suddenly became quiet, at least for a little while. It was Christmas Eve, and things had turned cold, and so the trenches, the water in all the trenches had turned to ice. Soldiers are there, and it's bitter cold, and it's just a terrible place. But with the cold, it was a clear night. And as one private said from the British Army, he wrote, "It was a beautiful moonlit night, frost on the ground, white almost everywhere," as he recalled. As the accounts suggest, it all started with the Germans, who were singing from their trenches on one side of no man's land, "Silent Night, Holy Night," in their language. The British across no man's land heard this, and they too began to sing them in English, "Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright." Something wonderful happened that evening. The Germans would then respond with a carol of their own, and they would sing their carol in German. And across no man's land, the British and others joined along would sing in English a carol. And they went back and forth on this clear, cold Christmas Eve night, until finally the British began to sing, "Oh, come all ye faithful." And the Germans, hearing that familiar tune, joined with them, but they were singing not in English, they were singing in Latin, "Adeste Fidelis." And it was a wonderful, I guess if you could call a wonderful Christmas Eve in such a place and such a time, it was a wonderful Christmas Eve. The next day, soldiers dared to poke their heads and look across no man's land. There could be seen bits of evergreen that had been raised up, I guess a form of a Christmas tree to celebrate the evening. And some Germans, in an effort to prompt a temporary peace, pointed lanterns above the trenches while calling out to the British. And if no shots were fired, they thought it would be taken as a sign of truce. And at one point, the records show that a German was heard calling out, "We good, we no shoot." And without the lanterns being shot, one soldier with great courage, unarmed, stepped out of the trenches, and Allied soldiers as well. And they slowly walked across no man's land, waiting to hear and see if someone would shoot, waiting to see what would happen. An Irish soldier in one place brazenly walked across no man's land. He was greeted with no machine gun fire. He was greeted with a cigar. And similar scenes were reported along this front. And it was that on that day, the Allied forces, as well as the Germans, spent Christmas Day in no man's land, singing, playing games. They experienced a Christmas peace. And indeed, at least for one day, though it was short-lived, "Silent Night" was the Christmas carol that stopped a war. And really, the Christmas story is a story, strangely enough, about enemies. We don't think of it that way, but really the Christmas story is a story about enemies. It's a story of we who, because of our sin, are enemies with our holy God. And it's a story of enemies that can know peace. I'm going to have you turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And the Bible in this passage of Scripture describes us as we are, as enemies of our God, and yet it tells us how that God is a God that brings peace. I'll begin reading in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 2. "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, These who are Gentiles reading this had no special heritage. They, unlike the Jewish people to whom God revealed himself and through whom God revealed his word, through whom the Messiah came, he gave us the scriptures through the Jewish people. These had no part in even the advantage that a Jew would have. And so we are still enemies. Verse 12, keep reading. Having no hope without God in the world. Verse 13 describes this. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So that Jesus, when he came to shed his blood. We sing sometimes, born to die. And indeed, he was born to die. And then we read these words, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. It's as though between us and God, there is a great wall that separates us. And Jesus came, and when his blood was shed, he tears down the wall so that there need not be any separation between us and God. We keep reading. He does all of this, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that or the conflict, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which are far off and to them that were nigh. So that Jesus is our peace. How can I have peace with God? Oh, Jesus is the one that provides peace. He is the provider of peace. And he is the proclaimer, the preacher of peace. For he has made our peace possible. He is not only the giver and the proclaimer. He is the one who by his own death provided the sacrifice for our sins to be paid so that we could have peace. So that he reconciles sinful men to God. And my friend, if you do not know what it is to be reconciled to God, then my friend, that's why Jesus came. He came for people like you. Once condemned, now a child of God by if you could go to Liverpool, England, you would find there in front of a bombed out war memorial church, you would find a beautiful life-size statue that commemorates the Christmas peace of 1914. If you saw it, you would see two soldiers dressed in their winter gear, one a British soldier, one a German soldier. You would see them there on a stone place depicting no man's land. You would see a ball between them describing or commemorating the day and how they played ball together throughout the day. And you would see two soldiers, one his hand reached out to the other, the other also having responded, and their hands meet together, celebrating peace. And you know, that is exactly what God did at Christmas time. God from heaven reaches out his hand, and he extends to all the forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, having extended his hand, invites you to reach out to him and take his hand in faith. And when you reach out and take his hand by faith, now you who are enemies are reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. And really, In one sense, anytime a man, a woman, a boy or girl in the Dominican Republic, one of the areas and missionaries we're praying for is in the Dominican Republic, in Japan, in the Good News Clubs here in East Ridge, anywhere in the world, anytime an individual reaches out by faith and takes the hand of the Lord Jesus who has reached out to them, they are experiencing the real meaning of Christmas. And they know Him now as who He is, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world. And I ask you, do you know Him as your Prince of Peace, your Savior? With that said, would you stand with me, please, and we will have prayer. Actually, before we pray, we'll have an invitation. So with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. Tonight is our night with Good News Club. It's wonderful, and we wanted to make sure we did our part to invite our community in. But I want to ask you this question. God has reached His hand to you. Have you taken His hand by faith? Have you? You know about Jesus, you've heard about Him, but have you personally reached out your hand and said, Lord Jesus, I come to You and trust You to save me? You can do it right now. Yes, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know You came and died and rose again. All that for my sin. I know that judgment is coming. And so, Lord Jesus, by faith, I take Your hand as my Savior.